Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't have to tell you, of course, that it is Mother's Day. It is an American observance in the civil calendar. It's not actually in the church year, of course, but it is good for us to thank God for mothers and the blessings of family. We recognize, of course, that no mother is perfect, to be sure, but it does seem that maternal nurture is one of the most basic of human drives. There are many examples of mothers who have been willing to literally lay down their lives for their children. And most of us know what it is to bring our problems and our hurts to mom, especially maybe when we are little children and mother says, "I'll kiss it and make it better." And for those of us whose mothers are no longer with us, there can be wonderful memories of mother's touch. But no matter how important human relationships are in this life, they are never permanent. There is one relationship and one only that is permanent, and you and I know which one that is. It is our eternal connection of faith with the one who speaks to you and me today in the gospel reading, saying, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Jesus, our Lord. So let me ask you, what is troubling you today? It could be a variety of things, maybe some of them really very important, others not so much. There may be something that is weighing very heavily upon you. Perhaps you have a difficult decision that you need to make. Maybe there's some conflict somewhere. Or a particular anxiety that just nags away and it just lingers and you don't seem to see any solution for it. How important it is then to go to Jesus our Lord, because in these familiar and faith-strengthening words, he assures us of some very important things. First of all, this. He assures us of life with God in what he calls the Father's house. It is a very firm and certain hope, no matter what or who is taken away from us. We have a future, and it is a glorious and secure one. "Let not your hearts be troubled," Jesus says to his disciples, and he's saying this on the very night of his betrayal. And so they were troubled, and they were probably somewhat afraid. They didn't understand why it was that their Lord seemed so determined to walk willingly and purposely into danger and possibly even death. And very soon, they would see him in terrible suffering and ultimately death by crucifixion. But God was working out his plan in Jesus, no matter what seemed to the contrary, and they were to trust that. And so it can be for you and me as well. We have a lot of unanswered questions, and sometimes we understand very little of what is going on. There was a church sign once that read, "Welcome to all who have no idea what in the world is going on." And sometimes that's the way we can feel with so much that troubles our inner selves. And we can ache for security in the midst of all of those things that crumble and change. There can be so many things that happen in life that seem to have no good reason, no justice, no fairness. And the Lord understands, and he cares. But he wants us to look beyond the obvious, beyond the bewildering events of this life, and turn to him in confident faith and trust, believing and trusting what we cannot see, and living on the strength of his promises, which never fail. And there is very good reason to trust him. He says, "In my Father's house are many rooms. And if it were not so, would I have told you? that I go to prepare a place for you? The expected answer, of course, is no, of course not. I am going, he says. Now, in those words, that's implied everything that he was about to do. It is a statement of determination and purpose. Where was he going? He was going to suffering and death on a cross. That is what had to be done to prepare a place for you and for all. The door to the Father's house had been slammed shut and locked and sealed by our sin, by our rebellion against the Father's will and our refusal to follow Him in joyful obedience. And so His blood would be shed, His life given as the final and complete sacrificial offering for all time and for all people. For only He, the divine Son of God from heaven, who had become a man, could be the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world. I am going to do that, he is saying. And he did. By that, he would prepare a place for you. Because after his death, he would rise again, and 40 days later, he would ascend into heaven, signaling the completion of everything that he was sent on earth to do. In Christ, life is never a dead end. It is not just a great leap into the void of meaninglessness. We may have troubled and anxious hearts here, but it is good for us to remember the words of the Apostle Paul, who said, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. The Father's house awaits. And there are many rooms or dwelling places, and He wants you to be there. He wants you and me to be there. He has prepared the place. We don't do it. He prepares it. We couldn't do it. It's a gift. It is so priceless, it could be no other way. But actually, the moment we come to faith in Him, we are already, in a sense, living in the Father's house as His forgiven people because we belong to Him. Well, that wasn't quite enough for Thomas, ever the doubtful and questioning disciple, the one who wanted answers. And sometimes we do too. Maybe more assurance and more explanation for troubled hearts. And Jesus gives it, showing us that He Himself is the ultimate answer to life's most basic questions and needs. Thomas, in a sense, is saying, show me the way. It seems he did not fully grasp what Jesus was talking about. Maybe he thought that Jesus was going to give him something that he should do, some plan that he could master, some procedure that he could follow, some works that he could do to get to the Father's house. But that is not at all what Jesus does. He makes one of those powerful I am statements that we see in the Gospel of John. Now, if we looked at the original, it is even stronger than what we see in our English. It says, in effect, I myself and no other. It's reminiscent of the name that God Himself gave to Himself in the burning bush before Moses. I am that I am. And Jesus is saying, I and the Father are one. I am. I exist. I am God in human flesh. And this one, there are many others in John's Gospel. I am the bread of life. I am the true vine. I am the shepherd of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. But this one sums up all of them. I am the way to the Father. Now, what is one of the greatest and most basic causes of anxiety? It is uncertainty about the future. We may know little or nothing about what will happen tomorrow, but eternity is secure in Jesus. No one comes to the Father, he says, except by me. Now that means also that we do come to the Father through him. He does not say, I am a way, as if there were many others, or something that we could choose as if faith and spirituality were sort of like a smorgasbord of choices. No, he is the way, and there is no other. Getting to God is not a procedure, a process, or a technique to be mastered, or even a behavior for us to cultivate. It is going through Jesus. It is a person. It is not doing something. It is already done. And Jesus did it. And we receive it as our own through faith in him. Believe in me, he says. And there is the power in those words to do that very thing. The power of the promised Holy Spirit to do just that. Because he is the truth. Now, there is so much that we see and hear that is not truthful. It is not real. It is not genuine. But he is the truth in person, because he really is the way to God. He really is the one sent by God to give us full and rich life. He really is the one who would give us real life now and forever. And he is the life. In the power of his resurrection, Jesus gives us real life. And that means living under his gracious forgiveness for past things that were not as they should have been, and assured of his presence with us every single day as we move confidently and joyfully to our own resurrection, to a new and eternal life in the Father's house. Forgiving and loving as we have been forgiven and loved, that is real and genuine life, life as Jesus alone can give it. So listen today as Jesus speaks to your troubled heart. He is saying to you and me, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in me. Trust me. I have gone to prepare a place for you in the Father's house. It is reserved for you in my blood shed for you. And here is the promise of that as you eat and drink of the bread and the wine that are my very body and blood given and shed for you. Your future is secure. That is because I am the way and the truth and the life. This is all sure and certain, making all of our uncertain tomorrows always a confident adventure of faith. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding,